Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Oh, hey, chickens. We're up to part two of The Pirate Planet, even though it's part three because I spent two episodes talking about the first one, which is almost how long it goes for. Anyway, we get a recap of the Mentiads turning up to zap the Doctor. The Captain, meanwhile, is furious that the Rogue Telepath, as he calls it, has not been located. Rogue Telepath! He does a lot of shouting. Anyway, he's worried that his engines nearly blew up. There's a lot of recapping going on here. Then he starts doing more of this crazy Brian Blessed impression that he's been doing. And Fibuli reminds him that the cause of the engine problem was external, which was when the TARDIS turned up. There was a rip in space and time, all that kind of thing. A woman comes up and stands next to the Captain. Was she in the last episode? I don't remember her. And he says, when someone fails me, someone dies. Then the parrot flies off his shoulder and kills someone. We don't really see it. It just go kind of like flies off his shoulder, and next thing we see a dead person on the floor with the robot parrot sitting on it. It's not Mr. Fibuli, though, who looks quite relieved. The woman with the Captain looks like a nurse because she sticks some kind of thing in his arm. Then the Doctor is waking up. He's been laid out on a couch. K-9 says it was a Gestalt-generated kinetic blast. Whoa, that sounds like fun. Grandpa's moaning about Prelix. He's been taken by the Mentiads. Kima says he'll help the Doctor follow the Mentiads back to wherever they go. And the sister's like, I'll come too. K-9's going to track them via their psychospore. Oh, yuck. Telekinetic poop. Ew. Revolting. Yuck, psychic spores. It feels horrible. The Doctor only just notices that Romana isn't there, and K-9's like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you for like an hour that she's been arrested. The sister says Romana will have been taken to the bridge, but nobody comes back from the bridge, only the guards. Oh, dear. This is terrible. Romana is being dragged. Like, it looks like a convertible kind of space car thing, and she's sort of nonplussed by all of this. She's like, climbs in and says, will you drive? I presume you know where we're going. Like, she's out for a fun day. Oh my God, she's so camp. I love her. I love Mary Tam. I love Romana. Such a fun character. Like, just, yeah, just like there's all these terrible things going on. She's like, oh, it's like a fun picnic afternoon, is it? Great. Being arrested. Great. I'm enjoying this. She reminds me a bit of, have you ever seen, like, I don't really love the modern Miss Marples, but Joanna Lumley as Dolly Bantry in Body in the Library is just like, Jane Marple, it's such fun. There's a body in my library. Very camp. Anyway. It's madness. So the doctor is tossing a coin. It's huge. It's like as big as his head. He's like, all right, heads we go after Romana, tails we go after Prelix. And he flips it. And it's like, it takes ages to come down, you know, bit of silliness. And then it lands heads and he points out that it's a double-headed coin. And the sister's furious. So she runs after Prelix. And the doctor sends K9 to help her, I guess, because he can trace their brain farts or whatever it is. The psychic spores are. Romana's chatting to the guard while they're in there. It's like a flying car. It's flying through the air. And she's like, oh, I've got an air car like this. I got one for my 70th birthday. And she starts telling him how to increase the fuel efficiency by doing some bit of nonsense. The doctor decides he needs an air car, so he's going to steal one. There's a guard in it. He's with Kima, so he throws a bag of jelly babies like a grenade, like to the point even where he bites a jelly baby out of the bag like it's the pin in a grenade and throws it. And then, you know, the guard sees it land on the hood and then he follows a trail of lollies around the corner and sees the doctor taking off. What an idiot. Fibula comes in to tell the captain there's bad news while old mate Nursey takes his temperature. Apparently the Macromat field integrator has burned out. Well, that sounds terrible. And they can only make one more jump. Like, that's all they got in them. Captain is furious and he smacks his robot hand into the console, which smashes apart a bit and sparks come out, smoke comes out, which is when Romana comes in. While they're flying to the bridge, Kemis does a massive info dump for the doctor, which is almost as bad as a spy psychic spore, an info dump. Anyway, he's explaining the mining process. He's like, it's automatic, it empties out, and the captain announces a new age of prosperity, and it fills up again. And then the lights in the sky change. The doctor's like, what lights? He goes, you know, the little points of light at nighttime. No, I don't know. The doctor's like, well, this is an economically unviable system. I don't know how this is working. Meanwhile, Romana on the bridge is trying to explain to the captain that she's a Time Lord. He doesn't believe her and sends his death parrot to kill her. But the nurse interrupts and tells him two executions is too much excitement in one day. And then the nurse comes over and asks how the TARDIS works and seems very interested when Romana's like, oh, we disappear, we go into the time vortex, we pop out. The doctor and Kemis have arrived at some kind of door thing and the doctor sonics it, but it doesn't work. Then he tries a hairpin, which somehow pops it open. I don't know how that works, but that's what he does. Romana is looking at the burnt out Macromat field integrator, which she thinks is ancient technology. She says it must be from a huge dematerialization circuit and is flabbergasted at the idea that they take the whole mountain with them through space. Kemis can't move on some weird jazzy walkway. He's like, gets on it and doesn't go anywhere. And the doctor sends him outside to get the gun from the car and guard the entrance. And the doctor's like, you won't understand the linear induction tunnel. And then he goes zipping along really quickly, just standing still, but the tunnel's like moving past him. At the end, he goes, oh, it isn't a linear induction corridor. It works by neutralizing inertia. Right, whatever that means. This is where you learn that I know nothing about science. like science fiction, science confuses me. Like, I understand vaguely what's going on, but if you talk to me too much about things like inertia, my eyes glaze over. Probably because I had the world's most boring physics class in year 10 or 11 and was just like, well, that's it. I'm tapping out. I'll just do the writing part. I won't do the science bit of science fiction. Just the fiction bit. I know, it's sad, and I sometimes think that it's left me behind, but I understand some stuff. Anyway, Fibula thinks Romana must have a similar mechanism to the Macromat Bizzo on her vessel, and she says, look, if you really want my help, you need to talk to the doctor. I'm only his assistant. The captain bellows that the doctor must be found, at which point the doctor, of course, walks in and introduces himself. The captain's like, seize him! And the doctor's not impressed with the hospitality. The doctor wants to examine the burnt-out Macromat field generator. The captain sends them to the engine room. Kemis outside is hanging around with his gun. In the engine room, the doctor and Romana are impressed with the size. The doctor's like, I've never seen anything like it. It's gotten very second Doctor and Jamie in here. The doctor's like, I suspected something like this, and then starts yelling numbers at Romana, kind of to distract the captain and Fibuli, who are upstairs. And the captain's like, my guards have tried to get into the TARDIS, but to no avail. So they have to keep nice to get access. The doctor tells Romana, secret quietly, that the captain is dangerous. And she's like, oh, no, he's all bluster. The key to time tracer is continuously buzzing. And the doctor says, they've stumbled across one of the biggest crimes in the galaxy. And then the doctor yells up to the captain that he has to go to his own ship with Romana. He's like, no, Romana stays here. He's like, no, she's got to come. It's got a special lock that requires both of us. The captain sends guards to escort them, but he suspects there'll be sabotage. A guard is sneaking around near Kimus, and the doctor and Romana then are zipping along the inertia corridor thingy with the guards, and they come out to see Kimus, who shoots all the guards, and they all miss him. The doctor and Romana duck down in the grass. I think these guards must have trained at the Star Wars Stormtrooper rifle range. The doctor tells Kimus they're going to investigate the mines. K-9, meanwhile, is with the sister. Mula is her name, I think. That this is where the mind stink has ended, the psychic spores. So she goes into the room where the Mentiads were having their meeting before. The captain is bellowing with fury that the doctor has escaped. The doctor, Romana, and Kimus are looking around a very old, disused mine. Apparently, the penalty for going down the mine shaft is death. So they go down the mine shaft in a lift. Fibuli and the captain see them going into the mine shaft, so they're furious. And the captain says, once they've seen what's down there, they can't be allowed to leave. He sends guards to kill them. In a cave underground, the doctor says they're about 3 miles under the surface of Zanuck. It's cold and icy, and Romana sees that it's frozen ground. And the doctor's like, yes, the planet is hollow. He tells Kimus the lights change because the planet has dematerialized and rematerialized around another one. Then they mine whole planets, and Kimus is devastated to think whole planets are destroyed to make them rich. The doctor realizes that the Ulian he found is from Brandragynas V, and about 100 years ago, Brandragynas V disappeared without a trace. A planet of 1,000,000,000 people, and he says they're all captain fodder. Kimus tells the stone, like the Ulian, that all those people will be avenged. Romana says the tracer has gone mad, and the second segment for the key to time is down here somewhere, which is when guards turn up and start shooting at them. And just as they're running away from the guards, the Mentiads turn up and say, Doctor, we've come for you. Ah! Oh, this episode's gone on a bit long, but we're at the end of episode 2. All right, episode 3 in the next one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.